What makes a story scary? Is the devil in the details? We explore the art of weaving a sordid tale with a novelist who has a knack for doing such things in this episode. And we'll try to tell our own scary stories in two sentences or less. Are the lights on? Good. Welcome to Listen with the Lights On. I'm Jessica Blaustein Marshall.
And I'm Patrick Garrett.
Barbara Chepitis is the author of 11 published novels and 2 nonfiction books. Her most recent novel is The Amber, about a young woman who tracks her family history through ancient Lithuania alongside a man who sold his soul to the devil and is trying to get it back. She's the founder of the Snickering Witches Storytelling Group and teaches workshops in writing. Barbara, thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
You write a lot of scary stuff. Is that a fair assessment of your
yes.
canon?
Yes.
I've read a lot of Stephen King in my life and, you know, read a lot about him and his process and such. And one of the things that he says is that he kind of comes up with his ideas anywhere, like in the shower, in bed, or, you know, wherever. Mm-hmm. How do you come up with a scary concept? Do you keep yourself awake at night?
You know, most of the scary concepts grow out of experiences I've had, I'm afraid to say, so to speak. Dreams, nightmares that I've had, experiences that I've had. I think that we all face a lot of fear in our lives and don't necessarily talk about it because we want to look strong. We want to be kind of on top of the alpha in the pack or whatever.
Fear factor.
Yes. Yes. So we hide our fears, and I use mine instead. So it mostly grows from life. Sometimes it grows from stories other people tell me. I'm a real big story collector. In fact, I love to take long train rides, and people will tell you the most astonishing things on the train about their lives in this very deep way. And I collect those and I use them.
How do you make a story scary? Is there a trick or a tool or something, or is it more of a feeling? How do you make something sound scary?
I think first you have to begin with essential fears that we all have and work from them. We're all afraid of being stuck in the dark in a place where we can't see what might hurt us.
That's very existential.
Yes. And we have no control. Places where we have no control are great sources of fear. So you have to have a good sequence of events to begin with. And as far as the particular writing, for me, I've been thinking about that lately. A lot of it is a matter of pacing. We forget when we're reading that we're experiencing not just this sort of movie of the mind, but it's also, there's a sound to it, right? Mm-hmm. Words have sound as they ring in our heads, and they have pacing and they have rhythm. So you want to set your pacing accordingly. When you're in a scary scene, you're not just showing it to the reader. You want them to feel the heartbeat mm-hmm. within it, and the heartbeat starting to get erratic, the heartbeat jumping around. So your sentences get shorter and choppier, or they develop a beat, a pace that gets faster and faster and faster and faster. And if you build that in, it's a very subtle influence that allows the reader to really feel the moment. And that's what writers do. We want to manipulate you, not to so much to know our feelings, but to feel something yourself.
What's the scariest thing you've ever read?
Some of the things that scare me most are actually humans, living humans.
Mm-hmm. Things that humans do to each other.
Right. Yeah. I'm much more frightened of the living than the dead. Stories of the Holocaust terrify me. Mm-hmm. That this could happen.
Those are infused with human emotion, too.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is a terrifying
yes.
realm.
The story of the Titanic, you mm-hmm. know, the way the living do not behave responsibly toward the living. That really terrifies me. In the world of the supernatural, something like The Exorcist, the demonic, really frightens me.
Do you think I should take her to a psychiatrist?
The problem with your daughter is not her bed. It's her brain.
The truly demonic, as opposed to the devil in The Amber, who is in the vein of Lithuanian tradition. For Lithuanians, the devil is really kind of a human who's gone awry. It's fixable.
It's not some unseen force or
right, making you and your body do something that you don't want to do. That's a terrifying.
Well, that feeds into the whole, you know, root of all of our fears, being out of control, right?
Yep.
Terrifying to me as well. I mean, most of the books on my list of the scariest things I've ever read tend toward the supernatural. Mm-hmm. You know, I've just always been terrified by that. Kind of why
here
I'm
you
doing
are.
This. Exactly. Right. I'm facing my fear. Anything by Stephen King. Stephen King's a great writer and a scary one. I read Pet Sematary when I was really young, so that one stuck with me. It stuck with me. The Stand was pretty scary. Ghost Story by Peter Straub.
I will take you places where you have never been.
Yeah, and I'm not afraid of ghosts at
all. That doesn't keep you up at night. Well, that book kept me up at night. The Exorcist is on my list. Mm-hmm. And then the last one on my list is The Amityville Horror.
Mm. It's the kind of house they don't build anymore.
Standard haunted house scary that has endured. And then also a couple of short stories that terrify me. Anything by Ray Bradbury, basically.
And, you know, I have to mention another one that's in the realm of the real. When I was in third grade, I was a voracious reader, and I had older siblings, and I read their books, and my mother was always bringing me books home from the library. So there's this book lying around. I said, "Mommy, is this a good book?" And she said, yeah, go read it.
Like that. Get out of my hair, kid.
It was In Cold Blood by Truman Capote. And I read it. I was in third grade. I don't think I slept for a year.
That one was scary now that I think
yes,
about it.
Yes. The idea of someone getting into your house, invading your space. Mm-hmm. And for such arbitrary reasons, you know, I felt that even as a child, that these people didn't deserve that, you know?
Terrifying. Patrick, what about you? What do you got?
Now, for me, I'm a little bit more scared by the human spirit, like you are. So a lot of mine aren't supernatural stories. So my actual favorite short story is The Cask of Amontillado by Edgar Allan Poe, followed closely by The Telltale Heart.
Mm-hmm. I had to stop it.
Most of mine are things that aren't intended to be scary that end up being scary as well. And Then There Were None by Agatha Christie. For some reason, that scares me. And I think it's just the mystery behind having a murderer, you know, around the house. And as people go down, you're just like, I don't know who it is. Yes. Who is it? And it builds that suspense. So maybe it's that suspense rather than, you know.
And that one-by-one disappearance, right? That's actually a childhood nightmare of mine, where the people on my block are, for reasons I can't determine, disappearing one by one. And I could still see the image of our family dog, like, disappearing right down to the tip of his tail, kind of like the Cheshire dog. You know?
Was he smiling?
He was kind of wagging his tail when he disappeared.
To be fair, that's a scary cat, too.
That's a very scary cat. Yes, because then, of course, the thing is, you're going to be the one to disappear next.
There was another one. I don't know if you've seen it. Now, the movie is a little cheesy, but the book is actually scary because it does something that the movie can't do. The book, I Know What You Did Last Summer.
The wait is over.
What are you waiting for, huh? What are you waiting for?
And it's a very cheesy movie, but the book itself, it really teases. It's the visual of not seeing the visual in your own head, that it plays on your own fear. And you've created this whole story and this whole visual, and then all of a sudden, it's not right. And you're like, oh, that's my fault.
Fear of disappointment. Disappointing others with your visions. Yeah, anything where the imagination kind of fills in the blanks tends to be really scary. I mean, I've had more experience with this, obviously, with movies. Like, when you can't see the big bad in a movie or a TV show or something, that tends to really scare me. And in books, when you have to kind of imagine the monster or the, you know, the murderer or whatever, like, your mind tends to make things a lot scarier than...
And it will also bring to bear whatever home images you have that are frightening. You know, I'll call those up and put them in the script. So
we're all our own, you know, worst horror novelist in our own heads.
You bet.
Do you have a favorite scary trope?
I don't know that I do. Because of what I'm writing, I have to play with a lot of different ones. I have some that remain with me as, you know, a list of favorites, kind of like my top 10 scary tropes. And I think one of them is the being stilled, being paralyzed in some way and unable to help yourself. That's probably my character Jaguar is a very proactive woman. Let's say she carries a red glass knife up her sleeve. You know, she.
Well, hey.
She's not afraid to slit a throat with it if she has to, and she herself is not often frightened. She's more often frightening other people. But when she gets scared, I have to put her in something that's she's totally helpless. I have to put her in a corner and get her out of it.
Do you scare yourself? Do you just like, do you have to sit back and stop and be like, whoa, 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 that was too scary. I have to like sing It's a Small World or like go to my happy place.
No, I don't. I don't. I can't. It's not even so much that I'm in charge of the pacing. I trust my characters. They are in charge of it and they're going to see me through. Gotcha. I'm not alone in that world. And it feels very comfortable to me to be there. So I don't scare myself with that. And when I was a little girl, my brother took me and my sister out in a boat, rowboat on a lake. And he had his buddy with them. And they started teasing us that there were snapping turtles in the water. And the water was dark, right? And they're like, snapping turtles are going to jump right up and pull you under. And you're not going to be able to live. They're going to drown you and then eat you. Right? And my sister and her friends started, we were like 8 years older. And I knew instinctively that if I showed fear, it would only get worse. They'd only pour it on more.
They'd feed on your...
So I leaned back and I trailed my hand in the water and I said, yeah. And I was, my heart was like pounding in my chest.
Wow, you'd be good on an episode of Fear Factor. Oh my gosh.
I lost interest, you know.
Wow, yeah, no, facing your fears. I mean, that's in a lot of stories that I've read that have meant to be scary, like, you know, the big climax is facing the fear.
Yes, yes.
And that's how kind of you come out of it and mm-hmm. you live on.
Yes, and that's the premise of all the Jaguar books and probably a lot of what I write. You know, even in The Amber, both of the characters are facing their essential self-betrayal, their essential fear, why they betrayed themselves or others, what fear generated that. Mm-hmm. And that's how you grow. You know, that's how you become more of a human being.
So a few years back, Reddit issued a challenge. There was a question on Reddit. What is the best horror story you can come up with in two sentences? And a lot of people jumped on this. One of my absolute favorites, and one that actually a short film was made based on it. It's literally like less than 2 minutes long, a YouTube video that's based on this premise. I began tucking him into bed and he tells me, Daddy, check for monsters under my bed. I look underneath for his amusement and see him, another him, under the bed, staring back at me, quivering and whispering,
Daddy, there's somebody in my bed.
Daddy, there's someone on my bed. And that was by Juan J. Ruiz, is the user that submitted that. Yeah, that's pretty scary.
That's a good one.
Yes. That's pretty scary. I don't look under my daughter's bed when I put her to bed precisely for that reason.
Platform beds are really nice. There's no under, you
oh,
know?
Yeah. Good call. Or I shove like stuff under the bed. Like I put right. like stuff in plastic containers and I put them in the beds. So there's no room for monsters right. under there.
My favorite was the one about the phantom limb. So the doctors told the amputee he might experience a phantom limb from time to time. Nobody prepared him for the moments, though, when he felt cold fingers brush across his phantom hand.
Yeah.
Creepy.
Yeah. They celebrated the first successful cryogenic freezing. He had no way of letting them know he was still conscious.
That one is terrifying. Oh.
Yes, and that harks back to dreams I had as a child, too, where I would be in the dream, I would be dead, and not dead, though, at the same time. Everyone would think I was dead, and they'd be, like, moving my arms and stuff around, and I couldn't tell them I wasn't dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I, well, you know, I had a strange brain even then. So.
Strange and fabulous, you know?
Well, I think they even made a movie off of that concept, too. There was, what was it? The guy was under, and he was getting, like, he was having surgery, but he was still conscious, and they were talking about, like, harvesting him
and yeah yeah there you go
and like murdering yeah. him while he was right on the table and he could hear but he couldn't say anything. Mm-hmm. He was just paralyzed from the
well
medicine.
I mean that's possible in real life. I mean some stroke victims they're conscious right. but they can't communicate. I mean right. but it harkens back to what you talk about you know, being out of control and able to move, yes. Like just the basic human fear.
Yes.
That's kind of common to most of us. Okay. I woke up to hear knocking on glass. At first, I thought it was the window until I heard it come from the mirror again.
Ooh,
mirrors are scary to me.
There was a Twilight Zone that was a man who could, when people were about to die, when they were going to die soon, their faces would glow. And at the end of it, he looks in the mirror and sees his own face glowing. And I will admit that caused me to avoid mirrors for some time.
Well, I have somewhat a more juvenile excuse. The Bloody Mary thing scared
me. Oh, so. Yeah. We didn't do Bloody Mary. We had all kinds of other games that we played, but not that one.
Too chicken.
We played most of them.
All right. The last thing I saw was my alarm clock flashing 12:07 before she pushed her long, rotting nails through my chest, her other hand muffling my screams. I sat bolt upright, relieved. It was only a dream. But as I saw my alarm clock read 12:06, I heard my closet door creak open.
There you go.
Like monsters under the bed, monsters in the closet. You
dreams
know.
Becoming real. I have to say, since I got dogs, I'm much less afraid of that kind of thing.
Yeah, animals. Like I have my cats, too. I always feel more comfortable right. when the cats are around because I feel like they can like sense and ward
they
off
can. Yes,
evil.
Absolutely, they can. They sense everything.
That's terrifying.
All right, I got a good one. Don't be scared of the monsters. Just look for them. Look to your left, to your right, under your bed, behind your dresser, in your closet, but never look up. She hates being seen.
Ooh, that's a good.
Okay, so let's see. Can we come up with one ourselves? Let's see.
See, Patrick and I were talking about this, and here's my problem. I'm a novelist.
You think in long outlines.
It's going to be a book, you know, or
something
nothing.
Something scary about, like, something... probably take longer than I had hoped.
Yes. No, my husband writes short stories. And
okay.
They take a long time to write. Mm-hmm. Our last challenge on an idea, he wrote this beautiful, crisp, clean short story, and I wrote four novels. So, you know.
Well, yeah, that's true. Like, it takes a long time to craft something very simple. Well,
for me, I want to set it up with the character because we each have our own particular sort of expression of fear. Mm-hmm. So you have to have your character, you have to set them up in the right situation and so on and so forth, and then you zing with the scary stuff. Mm. But the fear itself grows out of the setup first.
To take a quick side note, just away from the scary, there was, I remember somebody once issued Ernest Hemingway a challenge for...
Yes.
This write something sad in seven words or
six
less.
Six words.
Mm. And it was for sale,
baby shoes. Never worn.
Oh.
I know.
Now and I'm that's sad. It, now you know, scare me quick so I don't sad anymore.
The only one I could come up with was, you know, and it's kind of, I probably kind of pitiful. It was, she stared at the cougar and this cougar stared back. That's all I could come up with.
That's pretty intense.
Well, yeah, it was intense.
Well, okay, so I have a quick idea here. So we were talking to Maeve McEnany in one of our previous episodes, and she was talking about, you know, they had a seance in the old Tenbrook Mansion, and there was a mysterious bell ringing incident. I'll let listeners go back and listen to the whole podcast because it really was kind of creepy, but like something to do with a sound, like a chime or something rings, but everybody's cell phones are off.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. Like I heard my dead wife's cell phone, you know, like her, the ringtone that you have associated with her phone, like my dead wife's calling me kind of thing.
I have one for you if you want to go that route.
Okay.
I heard Jimmy calling me from the living room. He was at school that day.
That's kind of nice.
But it's coming from inside the building.
Da, 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 da.
Well, I guess we can invite our listeners if they feel so inclined to share their long or short fictional fear-infused musings with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can read them next time.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
If you'd like to share your scary stories with us, email us at lightson@wamc.org. Thanks for joining us. Listen with the Lights On is a production of WAMC. Our theme music is Grizzly Reminder by Midnight Syndicate. For more spine-tingling tales, check out our podcast or head over to wamc.org.